Today's podcast is brought to you by Meredith Mall, Director of Rehabilitation Standards, as part of our Health Services Division enhanced training efforts. Through last year's HSD post-acute conferences, we provided an in-depth look into the PPS reform for SNFs, specific to the proposed payment reform RCS-1 model. Because of the intense analytics and continued buzz that have happened since our conference, we wanted to provide a short two-part education series on both the high-level overview of the proposed PPS reform, in addition to industry experts' conclusive synopsis and clarifications to questions that have been posed since to CMS. So RCS-1, or the Resident Classification System, what is it and why is it being considered to replace our current PPS or SNF Part A reimbursement? RCS-1 is a result of the payment model research Congress mandated CMS to conduct through the Impact Act of 2016. Congress, to this point, has been heavily influenced by the opinions of MedPAC, which is an independent congressional committee formed to advise Congress on all things Medicare, and the OIG, both on studies conducted over the last 10 years on SNF reimbursement. And through those studies, MedPAC and the OIG believe that volume-based therapy reimbursement is the main driving force behind what they believe is billions of dollars in overpayments to SNFs for unnecessary patient care. So this opinion led to the push for payment reform we are now studying called RCS-1. RCS-1 is a conglomerate of data claims analytics that will revamp SNF Part A payments as we know it, while set to be budget neutral at least for the first year of its implementation. So to provide some additional color on why MedPAC and the OIG have come to the conclusion that therapy overpayments are rampant in the SNF industry is due really to their own independent studies and critical focus on therapy reimbursement in the industry. MedPAC and the OIG mutually feel therapy overall reimbursement in the SNF should be decreased and that the oversight of service delivery should be strengthened. The conclusions of their research have found a significant percentage of Part A claims that hover around or cluster around the minimum payment thresholds for RUG levels. So what this means is that they tend to see a high percentage of minutes for therapy at 10% of the minimum threshold needed to achieve payment. So their conclusion from this data is that providers are really just managing to that threshold, or what they term hugging the rug, for financial benefit over delivering quality and appropriate care. So because they've been able to demonstrate through their studies that these thresholds continue to climb, CMS has now given auditors permission to target SNFs who average 80% or higher of their RUGs at these thresholds. So you may recall seeing these reports periodically. LCS releases them. CMS has them published, but they're known as the PUF file, or the payment public use file that CMS will publish. So the twist on this theory that MedPAC and the OIG have is that outcomes data and studies done by the SNF and therapy industries paint a very different and more positive picture. So rather than looking strictly at claims data, our industry believes that the increase in the amount of therapy that patients have been receiving in the SNF is indeed beneficial to their overall outcome. They've been able to demonstrate through their own studies that not only are we treating a more acute and fragile senior, but that the increase in the amount of time patients have spent in therapy correlates to significantly higher functional outcomes, an increase in discharge to the greater community or home, and a decline in return to hospital within 30 days post-SNF discharge. So having a better understanding of the reason behind the payment reform plan really gives us a better opportunity to understand the goals of the research project. So simply stated, the plan for RCS-1 is to align with the concept of shifting from volume-based services to value and quality-based services, which we all agree is a good thing. The plan is to align payments with the highest predictors of cost, so things such as diagnoses, functional status, the patient's age, their comorbidities, their medications, and the like. In addition, RCS-1 aims to separate therapy and nursing reimbursement so that payment for nursing services is not directly tied to if the patient receives therapy or how much therapy they actually do receive. In addition, CMS wants to decrease the cumbersome regulatory burden on providers' MDS assessments and do all of this within their statutory authority so that changes can be implemented without a congressional vote. So now that we understand kind of what the goals of RCS1 are, let's get into a high-level overview of the major changes with this plan. The first is in the 66 RUGS 4 categories. RCS1 will change these levels to categories of 10 primary classifications based on case mix components for therapy, nursing, and then things like non-therapy ancillary costs. This shift will cause reimbursement to significantly change. So currently, we use a maximizing reimbursement system that relies heavily on the intensity of therapy service delivery. RCS1, in contrast, will shift to a case mix combination that incentivizes actually lower therapy utilization. So we mentioned that RCS1 aims to lessen the burden on providers. To accomplish this, they plan to change the frequency and type of MDS assessments that SNF providers are required to do by eliminating many of the scheduled and unscheduled assessments. So this model poises to require only the 5-day and a PPS discharge assessment for QM reporting. So good news for MDS. Payment rates will completely change, and their proposed payment system will look something like this. So our current payment rates are comprised of three categories, right? You've got therapy, nursing, and you've got NTA costs, where the SNF classifies a resident into a category, and then the SNF receives one payment until that category is changed. RCS1 instead proposes to break payment rates up into five parts, with the goal being to delineate specialties and remove the direct reimbursement link of nursing to therapy. So the RCS rates would include a cluster of PT and OT services, a category for speech services, a category for nursing, a category for NTA costs, which include things like medication and social services, and then lastly, non-case mix items like room and board. So the model is proposed in this fashion because historically, for example, PT and OT costs have had little correlation to the average speech costs for patients over the course of a SNF stay. They found that the more independent a patient becomes, the more their PT and OT costs increase, which is exactly opposite for speech stays. PT and OT costs tend to be higher at the beginning of a stay, where speech and nursing services tend to be stable throughout the stay. So to the same tune, medication costs or NTA costs are much heavier the first 3 days of a stay and then decline drastically thereafter. So knowing kind of what the historical data shows, RCS1 ultimately aims to classify the patient into a group based on all of those separate components to form their daily per diem. So what this could actually leave us with is up to 139,000 different possible payment rates per patient day. Not as non-complex as we would have liked, right? Our current grouper system with RUGS 4 dictates that without a significant change in condition, payment is the same on day one as it is on day seven. But with RCS1, payments on day one and day seven will be different and potentially drastically so, depending on the patient's case mix. So patient rates or payment rates and classifications won't be the only thing affected by this model. Length of stay management will be another major factor that will shift the way we operate in the SNF. So for example, PT and OT and NTA or medication payments, the reimbursement structure is set to front load those payments to providers for these services. So kind of what that means is that after day three of the stay for medication cost and after day 14 for PT and OT, reimbursement steadily and sometimes drastically declines. Another proposed change that we want to highlight will be in the way we're able to deliver therapy services and be reimbursed for it. RCS1 plans to place additional limits on the types of service delivery models that are currently reimbursable by Medicare for patient care. So currently, there are limitations on how much therapy can bill group treatment and how many minutes can count towards your MDS. So group treatment means just simply you have a certain number of patients working on the same task at the same time. RCS1 would then pose additional limits to modes of treatment outside of group to include concurrent treatment. And concurrent treatment means sort of the therapist's ability to treat more than one patient at a time, and they happen to be working on different tasks. So these limitations will be proposed with some flexibility in accordance with the therapist's recommendation for their plan of care. And that will mean if we want to get paid, we've got to have a really strong supportive documentation. So it's believed we will likely have to report on these modes of treatment on the MDS in order to gather data for CMS to further adjust future therapy indexes and models, which is typically why they gather data on the MDS. So from a nursing perspective, the MDS is poised to undergo several revisions as well, with the goal in mind of relying more on stable predictors of case mix like resident characteristics, medications, comorbidities, and less on parameters that fluctuate over the course of the stay like therapy minutes. So some of the changes, including limiting the amount of scheduled assessments to the 5-day and a discharge assessment, are going to be important. The 5-day assessment would classify the patient into a payment category for the entire stay, and the discharge assessment would literally be only required at discharge to capture some QM reporting and possibly therapy minutes that were delivered over the course of the stay. From an unscheduled PPS assessment perspective, all of the therapy OMRAs would be eliminated, and the remaining assessment would be the SCSA, or the significant change OMRA. And this assessment would only be used to reclassify a patient's payment rate based on a change in condition over the course of the stay under RCS1. Another point that we want to highlight are the topics of uninterrupted stays. The uninterrupted stay policy is proposed to change, as CMS had fear that under this model, SNFs may inappropriately discharge patients in order to reset their payment to day one, since we know that payments differ by the day and they're going to be front-loaded in this model. So they felt SNFs may even try to skirt lower payments by maybe discharging to a sister skilled nursing facility to reset the payment rate. So in order to avoid these potential pitfalls, RCS1 plans to change the uninterrupted policy to include that if a patient is discharged from the SNF and returns within 3 days, that stay would be treated as a continuation of the previous stay and payment would pick up where they left off. If they return after that 3-day mark, the SNF would do a new 5-day assessment to once again restart and reclassify the patient payment rate. So these are some of the major highlights and plain changes from the proposed model research or advanced notice of proposed rule for RCS1. This concludes part one of the podcast series. Stay tuned to the next cast to learn more specific detail on the changes in therapy and nursing categories, the pros and cons of this model, the guesstimated timeline, and how to prepare. Thank you for listening.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.